Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to share with you the fascinating story of Elijah. During the time of Israel's history, when he proclaimed to King Ahab that there would be 3 years without rain in the land. And this was a time when Israel had fallen far away from God. They had had a series of apostate kings who had led the people away from the worship of the one true God. And the kings became more and more evil as time went on. And on top of that, the kingdom was divided. There was a northern and a southern kingdom in Israel. And instead of worshiping and calling out to God for help in this most tumultuous period of history, Israel fell farther and farther away from the Lord. There was the introduction of idolatrous worship, the Baals and the Asheroths, to the point that we find ourselves here in 1 Kings chapter 17, where Ahab was the king of Israel. And it says in verse 33 of 1 Kings 16 that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger him than all the kings of Israel before him. And that's a sad epitaph, but it was indeed the truth about Ahab. Ahab had married Jezebel, a very wicked woman who had been the daughter of Ethbaal, who had been the king of the Sidonians. And with this illegal marriage, in the kingdom of God sense of the word, Jezebel brought in Baal worship in full force to Israel. As a result, Ahab, her husband, erected an altar for Baal in a house of Baal, which he himself had built in Samaria. Not only that, Ahab had also made an idolatrous symbol of the goddess Asherah. And all of these things added up to be just a stench in the nostrils of God and to bring great judgment on the nation of Israel. And we find in 1 Kings chapter 17 the place where Elijah, the great prophet of God, had come to declare this judgment upon the land of Israel. And in verse 1, we find these words. Elijah, the Tishbite of the temporary residence of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go from here, and turn east, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, east of the Jordan. You shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he did according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, east of the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Now Elijah had just done something that was extremely bold and took a tremendous amount of courage. At this point in history, Israel had outlawed worship of the one true God, Jehovah. So Jezebel, the wicked queen, had actually sent out the state police of the time to gather up all the prophets of the Lord and any other professor of worship and love for God, Jehovah, and have them executed. So Elijah was in a very critical place when he stood before the king of Israel, Ahab, and proclaimed judgment on the land in the form of a 3-year drought. He had to have great courage from God. He had to have a divine unction to go and stand before the king in a land that had outlawed his very occupation as prophet of the Lord. And when he did this, The Lord indeed protected him as he obeyed his assignment from God. And then right away, the Lord gave Elijah a personal word of direction and said to him to go and hide himself by the brook Cherith. And it's interesting because the word Cherith, that Hebrew word, actually means separation or cut off. And that was the literal experience of Elijah. He went out to this very desolate place where the brook Cherith ran through a desolate wilderness area, and he was quite alone. He was indeed cut off or separated from his people. But in times like that, and there are seasons that God will allow you to go through, and it will literally be the will of God. As we see, it was the will of God here for Elijah. In fact, it was his direct assignment. Go to this place where you will be separated and cut off for a time. And indeed, Elijah's only fellowship was with the Lord and with the ravens that he sent to feed him. But one of the beautiful things that we see in this picture of Elijah in this desolate place, with not another soul in sight for many, many, many miles, we see his communion with the Lord, his spending time in hearing from God. And we also see God's divine injection into his life of a miracle. Never before in the history of mankind had God ever sent ravens to feed a man with regular meals. Here the ravens, it said, would come in the morning and bring him meat, and they would bring him bread, and then the evening they would come and show up again for dinner and bring him meat and bring him bread. In a time when the land was undergoing severe drought, and without a doubt, food was very scarce. So one of the things about being in a place where you may feel very separated or cut off, as long as it was at the direction of God that you're in this place, you will see the intervention of God in a miraculous way. And you will also have time to commune with God and to spend time just hearing from God. But many people, when they find themselves in such a position, whine and complain and resist and in no way embrace the season that they're in. They think the devil must be bringing this season on them, and they're rebuking Satan in every which way, when in actuality, it could indeed be the Lord that has brought you into this temporary season, being separated unto God, and it is both for your protection, as it was for Elijah. This was a place of separation where he was cut off from people, but the reality, the overwhelming reality of the situation, was it was for his protection. And there are times when God will do that in your life, and it's for your protection, and you may not even know it. So don't resist the moments when God may bring you to a place of what appears to be somewhat isolation or separation, or you're cut off from other people. As long as it's not a self-imposed isolation, that's outside of the will of God, or it's something that Satan's brought on to try to bring you to a place of great depression, because sometimes Satan will try to intervene and steal from you. But if you can discern that this is definitely God's assignment, he sent you there, and it seems to be separated and cut off, understand that it could be for your protection, for your development of your communion and fellowship with God, the development of your ability to hear God's voice more clearly. And there are definite times in our lives when we have to cut ourselves off from all the distractions of life that come so that we can go aside, separate ourselves, and hear the voice of the Lord. So if you're in that season today, ask the Lord, Lord, am I here because it was your assignment, or am I here because I have withdrawn myself and I'm outside of your will, or am I here because Satan has robbed me and stolen from me? You need to discern those things, but there are seasons when God himself gives you an assignment that may not look very attractive, but it is indeed for your protection, and it's for you to see some miracles. And truly, the provision of food, of meat and bread by the ravens was a miraculous and amazing intervention of God in Elijah's life. It was awesome. Now, the brook itself was another provision of God. That brook, Cherith, gave him water that he needed to sustain his very life. We know that a person cannot go without water for more than 3 days without perishing. They can go without food for a much longer period of time, approximately 40 days. The human body can survive without food, but water is an essential that must be provided or a person would surely die. So the brook Cherith was provided by God as well. An interesting thing happened, though, to Elijah. God suddenly allowed that brook to dry up. Now, let me say this to you. When a brook dries up in your life, many, many times people will misassign the responsibility for that brook drying up to Satan in some way. And there are times when God himself will allow your brook to dry up. And your brook may be the source of your provision. It may be the job that you've held for 20 years. It may be the place where you've been feeding and being nourished and watered, a church perhaps that you've attended for many, many years. And suddenly, the brook dries up. There are many Christians who are mourning the brook drying up and rebuking the devil and saying, you're a liar and a thief, and they're going after the wrong source. Truly, the word is clear that Satan is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, as we see in John 10:10. But here, we see in Elijah's case, this situation in verse 7 of 1 Kings 17. It says, after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Now, did the brook dry up because there was no rain in the land because Satan withheld the rain? Certainly not. We know from Elijah's words in the very first verse of this chapter that God withheld the rain. So we know here in verse 7, after a while the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land, that circumstance came about as a direct result of the will of God being done. Now when a brook dries up in your life, and you're suddenly confronted with, oh my goodness, the brook is totally dried up. What am I going to do? What is happening in my life? And you feel devastated because you've relied on this brook in your life. And it may be people in your life. It may be a job. It may be other financial provision. It may be, as I said, the source of your spiritual nourishment, the church, perhaps, that you've attended. Don't be deceived in moments like that. It could very well be that when that brook dries up in your life, the Lord himself has allowed that season in your life to come to an end, not to punish you. He didn't allow that brook to dry up to cause Elijah's death. Absolutely not. God was his total provider, his miraculous provision. We see it in the example of the ravens and with the water from that brook. But God himself allowed that season by the brook Cherith. Remember, it's by the place of separation or feeling cut off. That's what that word Cherith means. He allowed that time of separation to come to an end. And he had another assignment for him. Some years ago, my husband and I were in a particular church. And the day came when suddenly, as if literally overnight, we had this strong impression that I felt like suddenly we were perfectly invisible. The church was going on. Everything was the same. Nothing had visibly changed. But suddenly we felt literally like cut off. And it had nothing to do with how anyone was treating us or any of those things. But in the spirit, we both at the exact same time felt this sudden, you could say, drying up of that brook. And honestly, nothing had changed. There wasn't sin in the camp that we were discerning or any other thing. It was suddenly, though, that brook that had been such a blessing, such a place of joy, such a place of great refreshment and provision and growth for us, suddenly just dried up. And again, There was nothing in the natural that indicated this, but in our spirits we knew something had absolutely changed for us. Had that not occurred, I guarantee you we would have just stayed and stayed and stayed because we love the place, we love the people, we love the pastor, everything. However, because of this very sudden and very distinct drawing up of that brook for us, it drove us to cry out to the Lord to say, God, are you trying to tell us something? Are you trying to tell us that you want us to go somewhere else? And certainly, as sure as could be, without much time spent in prayer, the Lord made it extremely clear He had a new assignment for us. And within a very short period of a few days, both my husband and I came to the very strong, confident decision that God was speaking to us to arise and go down 600 miles south of where we were living at that time and to do a particular thing. Here in this situation with Elijah, we find that same situation. Verse 7 says, after a while the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land, or you could say because that season was over for him, and the word of the Lord came to him. After the brook dries up, cry out to God. Lord, do you have a word for me? Are you trying to tell me something? Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now, this was the second assignment of Elijah. Go, arise, go to Zarephath. Now, the word Zarephath means a place of refining. Do you realize that there are times and seasons that God ordains in your life? He may have you at the brook Cherith, that place of separation for a season, so He can deal with you, so He can show you His miraculous ability to provide in what seems like a major drought in your life. But then He'll even allow that to dry up, and He'll send you on to another assignment. This time, it's to go to the place of refining. The place of refining may look like a scary place. Here in verse 10 we read, so he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have not a loaf baked, but only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in the bottle. See, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, when you are sent to the place of refining, when the Lord says to you, arise and go to Zarephath, it might look a little scary. It had to look pretty sad to Elijah when the Lord had said to him, arise, go to Zarephath and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow to provide for you there. Well, Zarephath looked like a pitiful destination from all appearances. The famine in the land was severe. The resources of that city were almost exhausted. And here he walks up and finds the widow, who's supposed to provide for him, gathering a few sticks to prepare her last meal before she and her son totally perish from this horrendous famine. Surely Elijah must have thought, oh, the Lord said, go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow to provide for you. He must have thought, oh, great, a person of means is going to be providing for me. My situation's about to improve. And yet when he got there, it looked pretty pitiful. Do you realize that at times when God calls you to go to the place of refining, it may not look very inviting? And yet the place of refining is the place where you will not only see miracles, you'll be allowed by God to be involved in the miracles. Let me read on and show you what happened to Elijah. When Elijah told the woman to get him a little bread also while she got the water, and she explained how desperate her plight was at the time, Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as you have said, but make me a little cake of it first and bring it to me, and afterward prepare some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not waste away, or the bottle of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not spent, nor did the bottle of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord through Elijah. Now, that is quite a different scenario than what Elijah confronted when he first walked up to the widow. It looked like she could no more provide for him. In fact, she was a few days short of starvation herself. And yet, Elijah, had he been a person that was moved by his natural senses, would have despaired of this situation and said, God, great idea. You sent me to this place that's worse than the last place. And yet Elijah was confident in God's word, confident enough to ask for the widow's last biscuit. That's confident in the word of the Lord. Otherwise, it would have appeared to be the cruelest thing he could have ever done. You give me the food, he was saying to her. And then after that, you'll get to eat. That seems like a cruel thing to say. And yet, the truth of the matter was, Elijah knew God's word. He said she would be able to provide, and he knew that God was the provider, really, not her. And that's the problem that we often have as Christians, and why people will despair in certain circumstances, whether it's their brook drying up or going to a new circumstance that looks even worse. They are focusing on the provision being the job, the provision being that church, the provision being these people or that man. When the brook dries up, understand, God's your provider, not the brook, not the job you've held for 20 years, not that pastor who's ministered so beautifully to you for years upon year upon year. God is the provider of your physical needs, your financial needs, your spiritual needs. He's the one. If you have your eyes on the brook, you'll be very, very disappointed and perhaps even end up in despair. If you have your eyes on the widow, you're going to despair because the circumstances look impossible. And yet God wants to say to you, don't despair when the brook dries up. Remember, I'm the provider. Remember, I'm the one that gives to you all that you need, more than enough for every good work. The one that provides for all your needs. The one that gives you everything you need for life and godliness. Elijah was confident that God was his provider. Elijah was confident in the word of the Lord that he would provide more than enough for him, for the widow, and for that child. And another phenomenal experience that Elijah has in this place that looked like a disaster when he went there was that the Lord used him to raise up from death the son of that widow. If you read on in the chapter 17, it says, after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. He died. And she said to Elijah, what have you against me, O man of God? Have you come to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? He said to her, give me your son. And he took him from her bosom, carried him up into the chamber where he stayed, laid him upon his own bed, cried out to the Lord, and it goes on to say that he stretched himself out on the child, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. The soul of the child came back into him, and he revived. And Elijah gave the child back to his mother. God wants to use you in miracles, but are you willing to go to the place of refining? Most people never go there. They are still mourning the dried up brook of the past. God wants to send you to a new place to bring you to be a blessing to someone as well as to bless you. Be willing to allow God to take you to the place of refining. It'll be the place where you will not only see miracles, God will allow you to be involved in them. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. Trust the Lord. He wants to do great things in your life. Allow Him to refine you. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.